Our message this morning comes from the book of Proverbs. We've been going through chapter by chapter the book of Proverbs. Today we're at the beginning of chapter 8, beginning at verse 1. And I'll read through verse 21. Give your attention to the reading of the Word of God. Does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights, beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portals, she cries aloud. To you, O men, I call, and my cry is to the children of man. O simple ones, learn prudence. O fools, learn sense. Hear, for I speak noble things, and from my lips will come what is right. For my mouth will utter truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are righteous. There is nothing twisted or crooked in them. They are all straight to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Take instruction instead of silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil, pride and arrogance, and the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. I have counsel and sound wisdom. I have insight. I have strength. By me kings reign and rulers decree what is just. By me princes rule and nobles, all who govern justly. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, even fine gold, and my yield than choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness, in the paths of justice, granting an inheritance to those who love me and filling their treasuries. Father, bless to our understanding the reading and our understanding of your infallible, inerrant word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In the previous two chapters of Proverbs, we saw the call of the wicked woman to a foolish young man when he went about walking where he shouldn't be walking, and how he was seduced by the seductive voice of that woman and the incurring judgment that came upon him. In this passage, the immediate the following section of Proverbs in chapter 8, beginning at verse 1, we see a different woman. We've met her before. She is the personification of wisdom and knowledge that the Holy Spirit uses to present the contrast to the wicked woman. And she is pictured as a dignified, wonderful woman who imparts wisdom. It is a metaphor for how the Word of God comes into our being and how it comes into our life and into our character. I don't fully comprehend all that is behind this metaphor. Deuteronomy 29:29 is often our favorite verse to go to in this regard, where it says the secret things belong to the Lord our God. And then we stop there. We should read the rest of that verse. The secret things belong to God, yes. We can't understand everything about God and who he is and what he's done. But the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we might do all the words of his law. We may not understand all the particulars. We're not going to be judged by what we cannot understand. We are going to be judged by what we do understand. And what is plain in the scriptures, in the call of wisdom personified as she raises her voice, that God speaks very plainly and very clearly to his people. Knowledge of God. We had another wonderful Bible study. I commend the study on the attributes of God. We had another wonderful Bible study led by Liam this morning in adult Sunday school on the knowledge of God and how important the knowledge of God is. It is not unobtainable. It's not, this knowledge of God is not just for a select few. It's for everyone that God calls to understand his word. Here, God, in his condescending love, reveals to us that wisdom is like this matriarchal figure calling to a young man to pay attention and not be destroyed. Many scholars note the reference back to what Jesus said about the children of Israel, the people of Jerusalem, in Matthew 23, how he hated the fact that his people, the Jewish people, were in rebellion, and how he wanted desperately to save them from the coming judgment. And he said he longed to gather them like a mother hen under his wings to protect them from what was coming. It is a figure that God uses, that the Lord Jesus uses. So let's look at the call of wisdom in verses 1 through 7 of our text. Note, first of all, it is a public call. It is a call to everyone, in contrast to the secrecy and the intrigue of the wicked woman and the plotting and the calculating and the deviousness of the wicked woman. The godly woman wisdom stands and calls publicly. She puts herself in the most public place, at the gates in the front of the town, which was the most public place in any town, at the entrance of the portals, she cries out. That's why the public worship of God is so important. We're blessed. We don't live in a persecuted country like the former Soviet Union. For years, we prayed that they might have freedom, but we don't live in places where, like Syria and the Middle East, Saudi Arabia, one of our supposed allies, where you can't even have public Christian worship. I remember way back in the National Guard, we thought some of our troops have gone to Saudi Arabia, and you have to have your worship service in secret over there so as not to offend that country. How much the world hates the gospel. Not so. Wisdom puts herself in the most prominent place and proclaims the gospel from the mountaintops. When Moses got the Ten Commandments, where did he go? He went to the top of Mount Sinai, where God met him and gave the Ten Commandments. When Jesus gave the exposition of the Ten Commandments, known as the Sermon on the Mount, he went to a prominent mountain in the hills of Galilee, to deliver that message. We proclaim it boldly. That is our practice. We read the scriptures, we expound the scriptures, we believe this is how God speaks to us. That's why there should be no time that we are not studying God's word in as individuals, as a family, in family worship. We should maintain all of those things. We should not neglect the public worship of God and the proclamation of this truth. So glad for the many Bible studies we have, men's Bible studies, women's Bible studies. It's so encouraging. Even, you know, when we study a book, when the women study a book, I notice it's the last book they studied was on the book, really a Bible study of the book of Titus. It wasn't just a book. You know, it's an author who gives her thoughts on things, but it's a book based in the Word of God. This Bible study on the attributes of God. You know, well, why are we studying books? Well, we're not studying books. We're taking someone's thoughts, and a whole lesson today was just one verse after another speaking of this great truth of the attribute of God's knowledge. It's so important to get this message into our heart. This is how foolish ones, simple ones, learn prudence, learn how to live, and most importantly, learn the gospel of grace. Wisdom. I think that's going to be an attribute of God we study in A.W. Pink. Wisdom. God is infinite in his wisdom. Some scholars believe wisdom here, the personification of wisdom, is no less than the Lord Jesus, pre-incarnate. Many commentators will say that. Jesus implied it in Matthew 12, verse 42, when he talked about the Queen of the South who came from far away to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And Jesus said, let me tell you something. What is here is greater than the wisdom of Solomon, meaning himself. Many think that's him saying this. The Pharisees, when they heard Jesus teaching, they marveled. Matthew 13, you can look it up. Where did this man get this wisdom? Where did he get it? The Apostle Paul, writing in Colossians chapter 1, says he is the image of the invisible God. The person of wisdom calls to those who are fools and rescues all who will listen. Do not be foolish and not listen. Do not be foolish and absent yourself from the public reading and the public exposition of the Word of God. Put yourself in a place where you hear that, and as a result, the Holy Spirit operates on you and changes you from death unto life through the power of the Word of God. The second thing to point out, and I redid my verses. It's really the call of wisdom is verses 1 through 5. The superiority of wisdom you see in verses 6 through 11. Hear, I will speak noble things, and from my lips will come what is right, for my mouth will utter truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. Wisdom is superior. The wisdom of this personification of this this wise woman is superior to the wicked woman. Because the wicked woman lies and speaks lies. Whereas wisdom speaks the truth. It is difficult to lie, right? Some people polish it to a fine art. And they can really do it. But they have to work really hard at it. You have to work hard to lie consistently, because if you don't work hard, you'll be caught in that lie. Wisdom is not like the wicked woman who has to seduce, who has to be devious, who has to connive. Wisdom always starts with something really simple. If you learn this in life, young people, you'll be well off. If you just learn the simple, even though it's sometimes painful, the simple practice of telling the truth, your life will be better. Bible's full of examples how one lie leads to another, and you dig in deeper. Just think of King David when he sinned so boldly in adultery, when he should have just come clean with the Lord and his people. He didn't. It just got worse and worse, and he dug deeper and deeper into sin and rebellion. Start with the truth. Plain truth that comes from the Word of God. She says, "My mouth will utter truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are righteous words." There's nothing twisted about her words. That's what the devil does. The devil twists the truth. Some of you came out of false religions and false cults, and you know what this is like. The false cult, the false religionists, well, they will take a truth and they will twist it. And that false truth, it seems attractive, and it's like the bait, and then the hook comes with the falsehood. And that's what wickedness does. It promises something and that it cannot deliver. Well, God's word is not like that. God's wisdom is not a puzzle to figure out. The secret things, yes, they belong to God. Yes, they can be difficult to understand, but the plain things are there for everyone. And the plain things are, you are a sinner who needs salvation through Christ. And the word of God tells us that. And because of that, I need to repent and put my faith and trust in him. It is a plain, simple message. One of the great gifts, we are a Reformation church, and one of the great gifts of the Reformation was to give everyone access to the Bible. That's why we have such an emphasis on education and teaching people to read and translating the Bible into the language that people can understand. It is essential to our faith. But for centuries, this knowledge of the Word of God was just kept for a few. Even in the early church, the first thing that tried to snuff out the early church was a heresy called Gnosticism. That only select few people had access to the truth of the gospel, and only select few people had the ability to tell someone else the gospel. And it was like a secret club that everybody should want to get in. And what does that do? It gives the priest, it gives the person in charge great power and great control over people, which is always the goal of false religion, by the way. The gospel is about freedom. Freedom from the bondage of sins and freedom of access to God through what Christ has done. You don't need a priest. You don't need someone with special knowledge. You, ordinary believer in Christ, can come to him on your own. And your job in public worship is to take your Bible and follow along and make sure what the preacher is preaching is true and right. That is the noble thing to do. It is the richest, most glorious thing that you can ever devote your life to. They're straight. They're not twisted. They're straight to him who understands. And they're right to the one who finds knowledge. Take the instruction of the Word of God instead of silver, rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than jewels. And you, and all that you might desire, cannot compare with her. I always think back to Solomon's early life. You know how Solomon came into this world through an illegitimate relationship with his father and Bathsheba. And so as a young man, the heir to the throne of Israel, he is very intent. He comes to reign at a very young age. We're not sure exactly how young, but he's no older than 20 years old when he goes to the throne. And God speaks to him over in 1 Kings. You can read the words. I think it's chapter 3. Ask anything you want, and I'll give it to you. And he asks for wisdom. And the Lord tells him, because you haven't asked for gold and riches and power and might, you've asked for the best thing you can ask for. I'm going to give you wisdom, and I'm going to give you everything else. And we know the sad history. Obviously, he wrote this. The Holy Spirit moved him and wrote this before his rebellion. We know how he ends up just 15 chapters later in rebellion against God, because he didn't heed the advice that he wrote down by the inspiration of God. And if you just read the account in 1 Kings chapter 17, you think, maybe you can lose your salvation, but you can't stop there. You have to read the book of Ecclesiastes, and then you have to read the last chapter where he sums everything up. He says at the end of the day, repent, fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Because he forgot it. Why do we have public worship? Why do we have worship morning and evening? Why do we observe the Lord's Supper every day to proclaim the Lord's death until he comes, every Lord's Day, to proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again? Why? Because we are sinners still, redeemed sinners, but hearts that are prone to wander, as the song says. Well, the hearts that are prone to leave the God we love. We need the truth of the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit to keep us walking in the truth. What is the result? What is the outcome of listening to wisdom? Verse 12. Wisdom will dwell with you. That wisdom will become a part of your life. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. I find knowledge and discretion. And you will hate evil. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance in the way of evil and perverted speech, I hate. This is God speaking as the personification of wisdom. Wisdom is Christ in you. And in Christ are all the hidden treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Christ in the Word of God. Christ in your heart. Christ is revealed to us. And wisdom in you is a result of the Holy Spirit working the death of Christ in your life. And the result is a life of obedience, which expresses itself in love for God and love for people. When God tells Moses the pattern of the tabernacle and how to build it, he employs these artisans to do it. And it's interesting to me that these craftsmen who are building this elaborate place of worship, they are described as being filled with the Holy Spirit. In Exodus 31, it talks about, in the verses 3 through 6, it talks about the one who, Bezalel, is filled with the Spirit of God in order to do this work. And it says it again in Exodus 35. He's filled with the Holy Spirit to do this work. When you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes into you. That's how Christ is put in you. And when the Holy Spirit comes in you, into your heart, into your mind, into your life, it begins to transform you, begins to work in you. There's a real danger in knowledge. I've spoken of it before. Some of us in this reformed world we live in are particularly susceptible to it. And we had one scholar, I don't even know who it was, but he coined the term reformed Gnostics. And I thought, wow, that hurts. But it's true. We think if we have all the right knowledge that we're better or superior, and that is something to be avoided, because God hates it. He hates pride and arrogance. Pride is the primordial sin. It's no wonder that the most vile and wicked rebellion in our world, falls under the banner of pride. Just think about it. You don't ever want to be associated with something that begins with the pride of man, because it begins with the pride of Satan, who fell. The opposite of pride is hatred of evil. It's hatred of pride and arrogance. And that is the primordial sin that wells up in every heart, every heart. God would have it rooted out of every one of us. In contrast to that, wisdom gives kings and rulers the ability to do what is just. By it, princes rule. nobles govern justly. That's the prayer you need to pray for your president, your governor, your elected officials, that they would rule and govern justly. And you, as a citizen who has representatives, you're not passive in that. You should pray and ask them, pray to God to have them rule justly, and you should ask them yourselves. We have a right and a duty to participate in that. We don't live in a kingship like they did in the Old Testament. We are the government. We have representatives, just like this church. You have representatives. You have elders that represent you. You should pray for them and encourage them. At the same time, you should ask them to represent you and the truth. And what happens as a result of that? Not only riches and honor, not from in a sense of worldly wealth, but there's certainly an implication here that blessings follow those who walk in wisdom. I walk in the way of righteousness. Wisdom walks in the way of righteousness in the path of justice. And he grants an inheritance to those who love me and who fill their treasuries. We are promised an inheritance. Ephesians 1, verse 11. In him, in Christ, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Those who have wisdom have an inheritance that is imperishable, that cannot be taken away. Those who have wisdom in contrast to worldliness and the ways of the world and the pride and arrogance of the world. The wisdom of God is implanted in every believer, and it is demonstrated by the fruit of the Holy Spirit that the Apostle Paul describes in Galatians 5, 22, 23. For the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and long-suffering and self-control. A walk, a way of life that is righteous, an inheritance that is eternal. In the book of Hebrews, written to those from a Jewish background who come to faith and who were being persecuted mainly by their own kinsmen according to the flesh, their fellow Jews who thought they had committed heresy and blasphemy. In the same way they accused Jesus, they accused their fellow Jews, had come to understand that Christ was the Messiah. And their families would disinherit them, and everything that they had would be taken away from them. They would be written out of the will, so to speak. Hebrews 10:34, you accepted the plundering of your property. Why? You could take it. They could take it. Because you had a better possession, a new and abiding one. Whatever is in this world that you're grasping for and holding on to, there is something better beyond. If you have that perspective in life, you can take it, whatever it is. And you can rejoice and be glad in the midst of the worst kind of persecution and the worst kind of suffering. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, if anyone here is yet to understand their need for repentance, for turning from self and turning from sin and turning from pride and turning from arrogance to you, the living God, pray that you would break their heart right now through the power of the Holy Spirit. and enable them to see their sin and their need for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you would do that now. And each of us who have put our faith and trust in Christ, convict us of the remaining sin in us, how easily pride wells up in us, how easily knowledge puffs us up, how quickly we stumble and fall. And Father, keep us from falling, that we might be presented to you in a way that glorifies your name, that exalts you, that delivers us from the penalty of sin and death. Father, our hearts are heavy often by sin, our own sin, the sins of others that have hurt us. Father, give us supernatural grace to forgive as we have been forgiven, that we might walk in newness of life, and we might know the joy of your forgiveness, not only the joy of your forgiveness of our sins, but the joy of the fellowship of Christ's suffering. And Father, may the result be that many, many turn to you and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone. We pray in his name. Amen.